Others as Self, Self as Others, Part 1, written by Z. Charnot, February 8, 1987. Here's a quotation. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. One does well to see others as one's self, so long as we require others in order to confront what we alternatively would avoid within ourselves. That's not to say that the only use of others is to confront what we would otherwise avoid within ourselves, but it is one of the functions of others, one of the values of others. First tolerate, then understand, then appreciate, then admire, and finally, accept others, regardless of the kind of behavior they may explore. We may then learn to forgive and accept ourselves, to forgive and accept our own behavioral explorations, perhaps even our explorations of thought and desire. We learn, whatever we have been or done in this lifetime or others does not disqualify us, it qualifies us by showing us how things work. We learn there is an inefficiency and ineffectiveness, if not a futility, in concepts like sin and guilt. Guilt provides a self-bounding which we may need if we indulge in wanting and needing, either an avoidance of the consequences or a delay in the consequences. We can allow the consequences of any act, any desire, any thought to change us. We can let our exploratory behavior carry a moral accountability. We can live acknowledging others, neither preferring their experience to ours, nor our experience to theirs. From moral accountability, we can learn from the consequences. Then, perpetuated guilt is useless. Guilt only limits and immobilizes our further explorations. It does so by means of the self-bounding. We need to forgive the persona, the personality, that manifests and defines our own, perhaps suppressed and ignored explorations. The connection of everything and everyone to everything and everyone else circuits our experience. Each person in our experience mirrors some or much of what we usefully need to see. As Jesus tells us in the Aquarian Gospel, in chapter 39, verse 14, evil is indeed the inharmonious blending or combining by man of colors, tones, or forms that were pure and good, but may have become other than pure and good by means of man's blending and combining. From chapter 39, man is not all wise, and yet has will his own. It is man's task to explore combinations, but man must find combinations that sustain the elegance of synthesis and not design by compromise between isolated selves. Man must design combinations without sustaining practices which serve separated, isolated, and alienated selves, practices which serve to keep selves apart. Man is a means of creation. Man creates within others. Sometimes we may watch ourselves dispense regard, respect, approval, appreciation, or love as experiences due to others, due because of their practices in craftsmanlike creation, due to them because of their nature. It is our privilege and our benefit to be the means, the agent, for the experiences due to others. Sometimes others may even attempt to avoid the regard, respect, approval, appreciation, or love due them. There is a phenomena. When we attempt to dispense help, benefit, kindness, goodness, love to those who feel guilt, those who feel themselves self-bounded and unserving of such experiences, they will, by their own acts, obstruct that flow. Fear is as effective as guilt in deflecting beneficent experiences. When we fear, we avoid, we evade, we erect and preserve barriers. These barriers do not simply obstruct the flow of experiences that are feared. These barriers obstruct all flow, all experiences in the domain of fear. Fear is the product of not only beliefs, beliefs in the possibility of separateness and the possibility of enduring boundaries of self, and the resulting obstructions to the flow of consequences. But fear is the product of a commitment of energy, a commitment of energy to isolate, to defend a fear-bound self. I have tried to help, to be kind to the guilty or the fearful. Only in some highly measured way can help flow to the guilty or the fearful. It is wise to find out the degree of nobility and the sense of innocence they preserve. That is the degree to which help or beneficence is able to be accepted. At some point, any attempt to extend kindness, it's a shield of self-bounding and avoidance. Nearness, unity, oneness, love is limited by the residual guilt or fear within anyone. Please proceed to part 2.